first Noel, the angels did say, was to certain poor shepherds in fields as they lay, in fields where they lay keeping their sheep on a cold
Good afternoon, everybody. To all of you guys joining us at home, thank you for meeting with us. Thank you for gathering with us. To all of you here, thank you for gathering with us. Why don't you guys stand with me? The first song that we're gonna do today, that I'm gonna do today, and you guys are still gonna worship with me too, is Come Thou Long Expected Jesus. It's been one of my favorites this particular Advent season because of 2020, because of our lives right now. This song was written in the 1700s by Charles Wesley, and it was written in a time where England was really overwrought with orphans. There was just orphanages were just overflowing with orphans. There were not enough people to take in these kids, and there also was just so much brokenness in the class system in England at that time. And he wrote this song with all of that in mind. He looked around where he was, and he wrote, "Come Thou Long Expected Jesus." And I love that for us this season, because we can celebrate the fact that Jesus came, and that changes every day of our life now, that we get to be Easter people and we get to celebrate our risen King. But we also get to look forward and say, okay, Jesus, I'm waiting for you to come back again. Come, thou long expected Jesus. And it's okay to do that. It's okay to do that. And I wanted us to sing this song, or I'm going to sing this song, and I want you guys to really, the words in this song are just so rich. And I want you guys to really read the words along on the screen and listen to them and let them sink into your heart and make this your prayer, that we can be a people that live our life with the hope of knowing that our Savior is real, that his Spirit is with us now, and that he's coming back again. And that's not a maybe, that's a truth that we get to cling to. So let's worship our Father.
And sins release us, let us find our rest in thee. Israel's strength and consolation, hope of all the earth, thou art. Dear desire of every nation, joy of every longing heart. Every longing heart, For my
thank you so much that that's true, that you were really born, that we really are here worshiping Emmanuel, God with us today. We love you. We praise you, Father. Amen.
Welcome, Soma Tacoma. Yes, you guys can take a seat real quick. I've got a couple announcements, but I want to start by welcoming you guys here today. My name is Andrew, if we haven't met. And we're so thankful that you guys are here, whether you're here with us in person or joining the live stream from home. We're excited that you're here, not just that you're here with us, but because today we are crying out in prayer to our God, the creator of the heavens and the earth, for renewal. And I know that when God's people cry out, he responds. And so I'm thankful that you guys are here today, because I know that God will listen and respond to your prayers. And there's nothing better that we could do than commune with our God. So I'm very thankful you guys are here. Two quick announcements, hopefully quick. The first one is, I'm sure many of you were here or watching a couple weeks ago, but wanted to give you guys an update for those of you who weren't, that we have recently appointed 6 new elders, which is a huge gift and blessing that the Lord has done some amazing things in our church body over the last year. And so we've appointed 6 elders. We have 2 more candidates who are still in development towards appointment. And so God is continuing to do some amazing things there. But I bring that up to say that as the elders were appointed, we were thinking that, you know, it's the work of ministry is not something that is set aside for those on staff with a church or appointed elders or MC leaders, but it truly is the work of every single follower of Jesus Christ. And that's been something that has been baked into our DNA for a long time. But as we gathered and we were talking about eldership and appointment and all this kind of stuff, it became clear that if we really want to keep our vision, which is to see every man, woman, and child in the South Sound region have a daily encounter with Jesus Christ, that it's important that we utilize the many gifts that we have in this church well. And I want to just say right now that you guys are those gifts. Too often we think of the gifts as kind of financial, resource-based, but really what God has given is he's given us a family with many gifts and many talents. And so that's going to be one of the first things that the elders are doing, is trying to figure out the best way to utilize, equip, and deploy those gifts, to empower you guys to train and make sure that you guys have all the resource you need to do the work of the mission. And so we wanted to let you guys know, we actually met yesterday for 5 hours to pray and process and pour into this question of how should we best utilize these amazing gifts that have been given to this church. And so we just want to ask that as we're praying through that, as we're processing through that, that you guys would be praying for us. There's a lot of grace that's needed. There's a lot of wisdom that's needed. These are big, weighty decisions, and we could use all the prayer we could get. And so we would just invite you guys to pray for us in that. We will for sure be giving you guys more updates as that process continues along, but just wanted to let you know that that was going on and ask for your prayer. The second announcement that I have for you guys today is about Advent Conspiracy. So this is a tradition that we've had at Soma Tacoma for quite a while. And the thought behind this is that in this season that is so typified in our culture by this thinking that this season is about amassing gifts and spending money and gathering all these material things together, that we really want to plot together a conspiracy to say, no, we want to see that done away with. We want to see that undermined. And we want to turn our resources instead of to amassing material things to see actually the kingdom of God empowered and go forth. And so one of the ways in which we're doing that is through our partnership with Network Tacoma. Network Tacoma is an organization that's been around here in Tacoma for 30-ish years. And what they do is that their whole goal is to break the cycle of homelessness specifically within families by bringing the gospel and tools and resources, meeting people where they are in order to see a transformation. Right, and that's exactly what we're about as well as a church. And so we've been partnering with Network Tacoma for a long time. This is a partnership that has a very long history, and I know for many of us a very personal history, as Soma Tacoma has been involved not just financially, but through serving and giving time and resources and all that kind of thing. I know even for myself, my wife actually used to work at Network before we had a gaggle of kids that needed more of her attention, and even just some of the families that we got to know. One in particular, this mom, Annalie, would meet with her on a weekly basis. She had a kid who went to Lincoln High School and was on the football team, and so our missional community got to come around them, and we were really able to surround this family with the love of God, with the gospel, with the truths of our King Jesus. And that's really what Network Tacoma is inviting us into. And so we would ask you this season to consider giving towards that cause. That's something you can do on the Soma Tacoma website. There's opportunities to give there. And I would also ask that you consider and pray, if God's calling you to serve there. This is obviously a very strange season for all of us. And if you could imagine, like, reaching out to families who are struggling with homelessness is even harder. And yet, by God's grace, they've been able to be flexible and adaptive, and they're doing all sorts of things like curbside pickup, food banks, and all sorts of stuff. And so there are many ways for us to support them, and we would ask that you guys would pray and consider that. Last little bit of information before we get to the passing of peace is we do have, for those of you who are joining the live stream at home, we do have a prayer guide that we're going to be going through, which Ben Arnold posted on the Facebook page. So as we're going through the prayers, as we're going through our liturgy today, definitely would be helpful for you guys to grab that and have it. I know even just reading through this in advance of today's gathering, this is the kind of stuff that would be good for me, at least, to hold on to even past today. And so hope that this is a blessing and encouragement to you guys. So now what we're going to do is the passing of the peace. And so for those of you who are here in person, or for those of you who are at home, what we're going to do is send a text message to someone. Just take a minute to pray and think, okay, who needs peace right now? Who could I give that blessing of peace to? And so shoot them a quick text saying, peace be with you. And when you get that text, respond, and also with you. And it's just our way of communicating that peace of God, that we live in a world that is craving peace. And we have the gospel of peace. We have the true message of peace. And so this is one small way of getting to communicate a reminder of that. And so after the passing of peace, we're going to play a short video having a scripture reading and a lighting of the Advent calendar, or the Advent candle, that's the word.
After Jesus was born in Bethlehem in Judea, during the time of King Herod, Magi from the east came to Jerusalem and asked, "Where is the one who has been born king of the Jews? We saw a star when it rose and have come to worship him." When King Herod heard this, he was disturbed, and all Jerusalem with him. Then he had called together all the people's chief priests and teachers of the law. He asked them where the Messiah was to be born. "In Bethlehem in Judea," they replied, "for this is what the prophet has written. But you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah. For out of you will come a ruler who will shepherd my people Israel." Then Herod called the Magi secretly and found out from them the exact time the star had appeared. He sent them to Bethlehem and said, "Go and search carefully for the child. As soon as you find him, report to me, so that I too may go and worship him." After they had heard the king, they went on their way, and the star they had seen when it rose went ahead of them until it stopped over the place where the child was. When they saw the star, they were overjoyed. On coming to the house, they saw the child with his mother Mary, and they bowed down and worshipped him. Then they opened their treasures and presented him with gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And having been warned in a dream not to go back to Herod, they returned to their country by another route.
Well, hello, family. Today, as we turn to God in prayer, as his family, we're going to focus on the four key thoughts from Ben's message last Sunday that come out of Psalm 119. So I'm going to read that passage, then I'm going to invite you to just individually pray and seek God about these things. So Psalm 119, verses 25 to 32 says this: "My soul clings to the dust. Give me life according to your word. When I told of my ways, you answered me. Teach me your statutes. Make me understand the way of your precepts, and I will meditate on your wondrous works. My soul melts away for sorrow. Strengthen me according to your word. Put false ways far from me, and graciously teach me your law. I have chosen the way of faithfulness. I set your rules before me. I cling to your testimonies, O Lord. Let me not be put to shame. I will run in the way of your commandments when you enlarge my heart." So the first of those key ideas is in your handout there, and I encourage you at home to engage with this with your children. The first point is God-dependent desperation. God-dependent desperation. And it's really based on the truth that we are ultimately completely dependent upon God. We may not feel it all the time, but that's the truth. We are completely dependent upon God. God created us to have feelings, and those feelings point to the needs that we have. And being aware of our feelings is really the grace of God. It is the grace of God that points us to him and our need for him as our Savior. And the feeling that leads to that is understandably guilt. We need him as our Savior. And that feeling pointed us to him and the need that we have for his salvation that he offers. I've been prone to not be aware of my feelings or neglect them. And God is trying to teach me lately the importance of engaging with my feelings and the needs that they show. And it's actually been a real gift because it's helped me to experience much greater intimacy with both God and with my family and with my brothers and sisters in Christ and everybody that I meet when I become aware of those feelings. I'm going to quote from a book that's been very helpful for me. It's called Voice of the Heart. And it says this: we sin with resentment when we don't confess our hurt. Hurt is one of those feelings. We were made to be tended to. God designed us to experience His care. Also says, we sin judging ourselves and others when we do not see through our healthy shame that being in need is the very condition that allows us to see our need for God and for others. This admission of our limitations as humans points to our need all the more for God and for others. The two needs that I struggle with and the feelings that I struggle with most are needs of shame and loneliness. And God thankfully addresses those. So I'm going to pray this prayer, and then I'm going to have us take time just to listen to the Spirit and what He would speak to you about the feelings you're experiencing and the needs they may be exposed in that. Father, in this moment, as we think about our current circumstances, help us to be aware of our feelings. How might we be feeling hurt, loneliness, sadness, anger, fear, shame, guilt, or joy? So let's take a minute and listen to what God would speak to us, especially in light of all that we're going through this year.
The first Noel, the angels did say, was to certain poor shepherds in fields as they lay, in fields where they keeping their sheep on a cold winter's night that was so dear. Noel, 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 born is the
Now I'd like to point to the needs of those feelings, each one that were mentioned, expose. So a feeling, for example, hurt points to our need for attention. Our loneliness to the need to be known. Our sadness to comfort. Our anger to the need to be heard. Our fear to the need for refuge and protection. Our shame to the need for attunement, the feeling of being seen and heard. Our guilt to the need for forgiveness. And our joy to the need for celebration. Father, how do these feelings point to my need for you? In what ways do we need to experience your life? Let's listen to the Spirit and what He would speak to us now. Amen. The irony is, we can quite often try to meet those needs apart from God. And whether it's be our fear, our loneliness, our sadness. And one of the ways, a key way that, as verse 25 and 26 speak of, that God's word gives us life is by pointing us back to the ultimate one who can meet our needs, which is Him. So, Father, make us desperate and dependent on the life that You alone can give. Give us life and strengthen us according to Your word. Show us how Your word speaks into and meets the needs of our hearts. Amen. Now I'd like the parents with their children to take a minute just to, you can phrase this, I'll pray this prayer, and you can, at home, you can do this with your children, to actually pray this in your own words and lead your children in what it looks like to acknowledge their feelings and to be able to acknowledge their need. So, Father, when we are sad or lonely or angry or afraid, help us to remember to ask You for help. Thank You that You love to hear us and to help us. Amen. So go ahead and take a minute with your children. Let's just lead them in this. Amen. So moving on to the second key point that Ben mentioned from this passage, which is intimacy-driven conversation. And honestly, my tendency as someone who struggles with shame is to withdraw and isolate. And I feel like God's been trying to teach me to engage and basically be in conversation with Him throughout each and every day. There's so many directions you can go with what you're feeling and what your needs are. And I feel more and more called to want to pursue Him and have Him speak into it. So that's my heart for all of us, that we would actually engage with God in conversation about everything we're experiencing throughout the day, because He cares for every detail of our lives. So let's pray. Father, will You show us what details of our lives we need to bring to You? Are there any parts of our present lives or past stories that we are afraid to tell You or think are too insignificant for Your attention? Let's take a minute and listen to what God would say to each of us. Amen. So as far as this conversation thing goes, I've never been a big person for small talk. But it's ironic because I can withdraw and isolate, but there is something to the gift of transparency and vulnerability that leads to so much greater closeness and intimacy with God and others. Transparency, just being willing to talk about what's happening, but vulnerability takes it a step deeper, which is to be willing to appear needy, which is the truth about what we all are. We are all very needy, and there is great freedom in being able to experience and own up to the fact that we are in need of God and one another. So Father, will you help us to see how eager you are to hear our story, to answer us. Help us to wait long enough in your presence to hear your answer. So let's listen to the Spirit and ask him to bring to mind specific truths of the gospel that might intersect with your story. Let's take a minute and do that. Father, anchor our stories once again in your grace and your truth, and increase our longing to see our stories interwoven with yours, such that the way we see our lives would be based on who you are and what you've done and your great and very precious promises to us that you are so faithful to fulfill. Amen. So finally, for this second section, was call the parents to lead their children in your own words to engage with this. And I'll pray this prayer, and then you can do that and take a minute with your children to do this as you basically exemplify what it means to lead them to God and disciple them. So God, thank you that you like to hear us tell you about everything. Let us tell you about our day. So parents, I invite you to tell God about the details of your day, and your children to tell you and God about their day. Let's go ahead and do that now.
This next song that I'm going to play is an Advent song that I wrote a while back. And I thought it was a good song to play at this time of our gathering because it kind of is written like a conversation. So the verse is me talking to God, and the choruses are God talking back.
Responding in just a minute, but I just wanted to make an observation that this pattern we're following, these four ideas, they're good for this response Sunday, but they're also a really helpful tool for when we open God's Word anytime. Like this could be a really helpful tool for reading God's Word, to come to God's Word, open it, and say, God, show me my need, make me desperate for you. And then to pray, God, help me to bring the details of my story to you and listen long enough to hear your story through the word. And then will you carry me into meditation on your wonderful works? And then just renew my commitment, my dedication to you. So this could be a tool even to use as you're reading God's word. And I noticed that maybe some of you are listening. Last week I had this on my heart, and even this week. And your heart is, I want to be in God's word. I really do. But I actually need some practical help for that. Like, I need some tools. And so I just want to encourage you to to reach out to your DNA group, to your MC leader, and you are free to email me or any of the elders anytime and say, I need help. Like, I need some practical tools. Like Andrew said, our heart is to equip you, and this is one of the ways we want to equip God's people. So if that's where you're struggling, please reach out to us. We would love to help you. So we're going to continue responding, and verse 27 of Psalm 119 says, "Make me understand the way of your precepts, and I will meditate on your wondrous works." So we're going to do this in small groups, distance groups. So I'm going to give you a chance right now to move around a little bit, to find someone that you can pray with and to engage with. And if you're at home, you can get close. If you're here, stay distance from each other, and you have an opportunity here to engage together in this. And so the first part of this is just a prayer, and I'm not going to read this. I'll let you guys pray this together in your group. And then after you pray this prayer and spend a few moments praying over this request to God that he would rescue us from distraction, we're going to do a little exercise in meditation. So someone in your group can read Psalm 3, 2-3, and then take a few minutes just silently thinking about those words in bold. Like, why would the psalmist choose to use those words? And after a few minutes, after you've thought about it and asked the Spirit to show you, then just respond together in your group with what the Spirit has shown you. And engage the kids. If you have kids in your group, engage them as well. I'm going to jump down and find a group, and then in a few minutes I'll come back up and we'll move on to the next section.
Fountain I drink from, oh yeah.
You guys can stay in your groups because we'll do this next section together as well. The last thought here is grace-fueled dedication, that as we spend time in conversation, communicating our need and our desperation, and we meditate on God's wondrous works, we walk away with this renewed grace-fueled desire to run in the way of God's commandments. Verse 29 says, "Put false ways far from me, and graciously teach me your law. I've chosen the way of faithfulness. I set your rules before me. I cling to your testimonies, O Lord. Let me not be put to shame. I will run in the way of your commandments when you enlarge my heart." So let's spend some time in our small groups reflecting on those words and also exercising repentance, asking God for confession of our sin. Remember, family, repentance is a gift from God. And so if the Spirit's bringing to mind areas where you need to be more devoted to pursuing God through his word and being wowed by him, then this would be a great time to confess those and to ask for forgiveness, because Jesus has already purchased it for you. He's already died for it. He's already put the plan in place to rescue you from it and to give you life. And it's a great opportunity to do this in community, because as we confess and repent and our brothers and sisters hear it, it helps them do the same thing. So spend some time in confession if that's where the Spirit is leading you. And then use this little concentric circle chart that we've been using and spend some time asking that we would have a renewed commitment to God's word in our own hearts and our families in this church. And then in the world, because we want God to renew us. We've said this all throughout this series. We want God to renew us because we want the world to be renewed. And as Andrew said at the beginning, our vision at Soma Tacoma hasn't changed. We want every man, woman, and child to have a daily encounter with Jesus. And they can't have an encounter with Jesus through us until we've had an encounter with Jesus, right? We need that daily encounter with Jesus so that we can be salt and light to the world. And to give you a little preview of Dawson's message next week, God wants to renew us to bring joy to the nations. So this isn't just about us. This is about the world. And so spend some time asking that God would help us to have a renewed commitment to his word, and that through us, he would reach the nations. So I'm going to do the same thing, jump down for a minute and pray with a group, and then I'll come back up and we'll have communion together. So let's pray.
Mountain where I found, fountain I dream.
1 John 1:9 says if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And we have the opportunity now with a really tangible element that we can see and taste to be reminded of how fully known we are and how fully loved we are in Jesus and how fully forgiven we are. So if you're a follower of Jesus, I welcome you to this meal, this little plastic cup meal. If you're at home, I hope you have a meal, like get some bread, and a glass of wine or juice. But here we have these, and thankfully they're a symbol of something very real. And so as we take the bread, as we drink, we're remembering that, yes, we've been rescued, we've been saved from the penalty of our sins. There's no condemnation in Jesus. But we're also remembering that we are being saved from the power of sin. So there is power, there's resurrection life in us to have our hearts renewed, to run in the way of God's commandments. And then someday we will be saved fully from the presence of sin. And we'll see the Word face to face, Jesus face to face, and be known fully by him as we know him. So let's take the bread and the cup together and worship Jesus as we do.
Show.
family. So I'm going to send you guys out today with a benediction that the Lord spoke to Moses. This is coming out of Numbers 6. It says, "And the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, speak to Aaron and to his sons, saying, thus you shall bless the sons of Israel, and you shall say to them, as I am saying tonight to you, the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine on you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance on you and give you peace." And so tonight, Soma family, you are sent from this place with the message and the reality of peace into a world that is desperate for it. So go with that peace, family. Amen.